Hey, welcome to the program. How are you today? Good, good to hear it. Well, I'll tell you, we're guilt-ridden into getting along with each other. And I've just got to refresh your memory on this.
I certainly don't incite violence.
Knock the crap out of him.
Like to punch him in the face.
I don't condone violence. And I don't talk about violence.
Well, I would have done well, but I would have been boom, boom, boom. I'll beat that.
I don't know if I'll do the fighting myself or if other people will.
Maybe he should have been roughed up, because it was absolutely disgusting what he was doing.
If you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously. Like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Try not to hurt him. If you do, I'll defend you in court. Don't worry about it.
In the good old days, this doesn't happen because they used to treat them very, very rough. And when they protested once, you know, they would not do it again so easily. We've become weak. We've become weak.
And you know what? The audience swung back. And I thought it was very, very appropriate. The audience hit back. And that's what we need a little bit more of now.
Part of the problem and part of the reason it takes so long is nobody wants to hurt each other anymore, right?
I don't know if I would have done well, but I would have been out there fighting, folks. I don't know if I would have done well, but I would have been boom, boom, boom. I'll beat that.
Do you plan on paying for the legal fees of this older gentleman in North Carolina who sucker punched the protester?
From what I understand, he was sticking a certain finger up in the air.
And
that is a terrible thing to do front of somebody that, frankly, wants to see America made great again.
It's possible you could help him with legal fees if this man needs it.
I've actually instructed my people to look into it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if someone gives you the finger, the president is suggesting that you beat the crap out of them. And if you protest against something, the president is saying you should be hurt and beat up, and then you'll think twice about protesting again. This guy that we're talking about became the president of the United States and still condones that type of violence. And yet we are asked, as a nation, don't protest. Don't go against anybody, or you're going to get the crap beat out of you. This is how our country unites. This is a man that is a uniter. I just had to play that because every once in a while, I get pretty angry, but I don't go hitting people.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It's so sad.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Every once in a while, man, it just piles up on me psychologically. It just piles up what this country is turning into. And, you know, if you say something that apparently is, you know, against this Trump thing, then, you know, then you're a troublemaker. But yet you can be a troublemaker if you're the president. You can alienate other countries. You can do little you can do a tariff wars. Harley Davidson, which is a motorcycle manufacturer born and raised here in the United States with American flags stuck on all the motorcycles. Harley Davidson has just announced that because of the tariff war that Trump has instigated, that rather than pay tariffs to have the motorcycles shipped overseas, Harley Davidson now is going to be closing down some manufacturing plants in the United States and moving them overseas so that they don't have to pay the tariffs because they'll already be overseas. So American jobs will be lost. This is what Harley Davidson is doing. This is a result of your president trying to alienate everybody instead of, because we're apparently getting screwed with tariffs from other countries, so we'll screw you back, and that solves everything. This man, and he's been warned by his own people and his own party, don't do this, but he does it anyway. But it's the violence thing that really, really gets to me. I just don't understand it. I'm going to play part of it again, and at the end, he's going to talk about the Second Amendment, and I want you to pay attention to what he says about that.
If you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them, would you? Seriously.
Yeah, just beat them up.
Okay? Just knock the hell.
That's all.
I promise you,
she's your president.
I will pay for the legal fees, I promise.
Yeah. Yeah. The guards are very gentle with him. He's walking out like big high fives, smiling, laughing, like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
That's nice.
All right, yeah, get him out. Try not to hurt him.
What if you do?
If you do, I'll defend you in court. Don't worry about it.
No,
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick, if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know.
The Second Amendment people, maybe there is. That means that if Hillary became president, the Second Amendment people, those that believe, you know, that the right to bear arms, gun owning, that kind of thing, maybe the Second Amendment people will take care of that problem. What could that mean other than if you own a gun and you don't like what's going on, maybe you can, you know how to take care of that problem, if you know what I mean. This is a man who is running for president. And yes, not a lot of people wanted to go the Hillary route, although she did win the popular vote, but that's besides the point. This man is now president and hasn't changed his mind or his heart about what he was saying when he was running. Some of his policies people believed in. Okay, I get that. But you can't condone this division in the country, which he admittedly creates, by calling the media fake news when all of his facts and figures are lies, proven to be lies. It's not the media that's saying that they're lies. They are proven lies and exaggerations in order to manipulate the public and fire up his base. To me, what this Trump guy wants is to be the king and have the entire country, his customer base, shut us off from the rest of the world economically and socially so that he can run his dictatorship. And if you don't believe that, take a look at who he cozies up to. North Korea. Russia. Congratulating the Chinese president because he can be president for the rest of his life. And Trump actually said that would be nice. That's not democracy. He doesn't get it. And yet at the same time, he alienates our allies, Canada, Mexico, Europe, Great Britain, Germany, France. That's exactly what North Korea, China, and Russia want. Alienation with the European nations. A breakdown of the strength of our alliances throughout the world. That's what they want, and that's what Trump is giving them, unknowingly. I'm sorry to start the show this way, but my God, I mean, seriously, this is not funny stuff. This is serious problem stuff. Anyway, that's what's going on in the White House.
As a special surprise thank you, everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Sounds like the President of the United States. He's the boss. There's the ferret. Anyway, I've talked about this on the show before. When I was growing up, I had a love for luncheon meats, which I since have learned as I grew older that they're full of nitrates and will kill you if you eat too much of them. Somehow I escaped the killing part. I'm still alive. But I haven't eaten nitrates and lunch meats for quite a period of time, for decades. But when I was a child, bologna and cheese sandwiches on Wonder Bread. Do you even know what Wonder Bread is, kids? It was a bread. It was a white bread. It was spongy. It was fantastic. It was perfect for the bologna sandwich with the cheese. One slice of cheese, 17 slices of bologna. I had a friend named Dave. And I ran into him a decade after being a kid. And I said to Dave, "How you doing, man? How you doing, man?" See, when guys meet other guys, we call them man, you see. Because we just call them by their species and their sexual classification. "How you doing, man?" And Dave says, "Fine." I said, "Dave, you still eating bologna sandwiches?" And he said, "Every day. I've eaten them since I was a kid, when I was young adult, now I'm middle-aged, and I eat bologna sandwiches every day." And I felt like putting on a plastic glove and checking out his rectum and his prostate, because I figured your organs have got to be dying quickly in there. But Dave looked like a happy guy because he eats his bologna every day. Personally, I can't eat everything every day for all of my life. I just can't do it. I would have to switch up to mortadella or something. I mean, so I was in a supermarket in the Boston area called Market Basket, which is, I don't even know what to call it, but it's the prices are very low, and so is the clientele. These are the kind of people that when they're shopping, their shopping cart, they're going down the aisle, they don't pull their shopping cart to the side when they're looking at something on the shelf. They just leave it in the middle of the aisle and go walking away. I've never seen so many unattended pocketbooks by females in my life. I don't know how they get away with it. I could have snatched like 50 pocketbooks if I wanted to, but of course I don't do that kind of stuff. I guess if you're a woman, you can get away with snatching a pocketbook a lot easier than a guy snatching a pocketbook. Wait a minute, that guy's carrying a pocketbook. He must have just snatched it from a shopping cart. So obvious. It's just so obvious. What are you going to do, hide it under your T-shirt? I mean, how do you walk out of a store with a purse if you're a guy? Hey, man, what are you doing, man? Anyway, I'm in Market Basket, and I'm in the deli area, and there's a big sign over the deli case. And it says, "Bologna, 99 cents a pound." What's 99 cents a pound anymore? Nothing. Air is even more costly than that. If I need air for my tire, I used to be able to go to a gas station and just there'd be a hose there and I'd just fill my tire up and they'd say, "Have a nice day. Come back and buy gas if you would next time. That'd be nice." Air is free, man. Air is free. We breathe it. It's in the air. Why would I pay for it just to put it in my tire? Not anymore. Not anymore. Now you got to have a bunch of quarters in your pocket and quite a few of them just to put air in your tire. No, I'm paying for air is what I'm doing. Ron, no, you're paying for the implement and the service of putting air. No, I'm paying for air. Shut up. So 99 cents a pound for Wunderbar bologna, which is a very, very popular brand of bologna. It's a German bologna, I assume. I couldn't help myself. It's like buying a couple of days closer to death when you do that. It's just, you know that if you eat bologna, something's going to go wrong somewhere. And it did. So I buy only a quarter pound of bologna. That's all I need. How much is that going to cost? 25 cents? Come on, man. 25 cents for anything is cheap. It's free. So they slice up the bologna for me. Actually, it was pre-sliced because they knew there was going to be a run on 99 cents a pound bologna. And I buy my other stuff at the supermarket. I get into the car and I can't help myself. I go digging through the shopping bags and I pull out my little cellophane package of bologna. And I sit in the car and as I'm driving, I'm eating bologna. Not on a sandwich. I'm just eating slices of bologna from the package. And it was damn tasty. It brought me back to my childhood. You know, sometimes when you hear a song on the radio or something, it just brings you back to a certain point in time when you were like a child or your first love or when you were in junior high school being beat up in the schoolyard by Trump. You know, it just brings back memories. And as soon as the bologna hit my stomach and my taste buds, it was like, wow, my whole childhood was worth 99 cents a pound. These were prices that bologna was back at the turn of the century in 1623. Or 1601, whatever. Apparently I don't know what a turn of a century is. I ate the entire quarter pound of bologna. Here's the funny part. By the time I got home, which was only about 5 minutes later, I was so sick to my stomach. It was like I had just eaten like a dozen Whoppers or Big Macs. You know that feeling? Where it tastes really good going down, but within a short period of time, your body is just saying, man, what did you do to me? What was that about, Ron? What are you trying to kill me? Why are you abusing me like this? I felt awful. I went right to the bathroom, and I was not happy. But it so much satisfied me like some type of a nostalgic drug. So this morning I decided, as I'm going to be talking about bologna on the air, and I know what you're saying. Ron, you talk about bologna every day and I'm not talking about lunch meats. I looked up bologna, like what is bologna? And I kind of had an idea, but I wasn't sure. Bologna, of course, is sometimes a beef product, sometimes a pork product, sometimes a mixture of both, usually a mixture of both. But is it the finest quality meats? No. Bologna is leftovers. Bologna is the stuff that the butchers throw out, or would throw out if they didn't make bologna. It is the parts of the animal that we don't eat, unless it's bologna. It's the organs that aren't used. It's the facial features all mashed up, probably part of the scrotum. I don't even know. They won't even tell you. And then they put in the nitrates, the preservatives, the sodium. They mash it all together. They make it like a big, gigantic sausage. They slice it up, and they offer you the near-death experience. So then I thought, what could be worse than bologna? And why am I eating it? And then I found mortadella. which I've never had in my life, because it is exactly what it looks like. I was hoping that those little white spots, or those big white spots in Mortadella is bologna with these white spots all throughout them, these blobs of white. And I hoped that it was cheese, but it's not. It's fat. It is congealed, actual, real, authentic fat, actually pressed into the bologna meat. It is up front fat. It is chunks of fat in the bologna, which is already fat. It's fat. It's chunks of fat lodged into fat. Now, I've never had mortadella, and I don't care to have mortadella. I've had bologna like olive loaf, where they put olives in them, you know, like the green olives. I find that somewhat tasty. I've had that before. That ups the sodium really nicely. I've had pimento loaf with pimentos, like, you know, in the bologna, you know, little red spots. Looks like somebody ate the stuff and started bleeding from their mouth. But mortadella, fat upon fat, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. I don't hate myself that much. Sometimes I don't care for myself. I've listened to some of my shows. I don't care for them sometimes. But having fat upon fat, that I care about. So what's the point of this whole thing about bologna? Well, there isn't one. Bologna is an actual town or city or something where I guess people walk around eating nitrates. I really have no idea what it's about. Anyway, I don't know. I've wasted a good amount of your life here, and I apologize for it. Oh, quiet down.
Please be quiet. 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 Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Our guest will join us right after this commercial word.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want piggy parts. I want piggy parts.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts are 100% all natural salt preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts.
Mary Jane Melendez is the executive director of the General Mills Foundation, where she leads the General Mills charitable giving corporate volunteerism efforts. And Katie Stagliano is here. She's the founder and chief executive gardener of Katie's Crops, which is a not-for-profit organization that empowers kids across the country to grow fresh produce daily to fight hunger. And we're talking about fighting hunger. We don't talk about it enough, but the data is there that worldwide, it's not a good deal. What are you saying in your numbers?
I would say it's actually pretty heartbreaking, the stats today. Mm-hmm. 1 in 8 people around the world struggle with hunger, including 13 million youth right here in our own country. And we have an opportunity to help make a difference in this by increasing food security and advancing sustainable agriculture. This is a problem that's solvable, and it's not a problem that's always evident. People next door to you could be hungry, people in your community, and organizations like Katie's Crops are one way to answer this issue.
Yeah. Katie, I understand that you're not even 21 years old yet.
Oh, no, I'm
19. My God, you've done a lot. 19, I don't think I even got out of bed yet. You're really something. How did this become evident for you that you were going to take this direction, Katie?
When I was 9 years old, I planted a tiny cabbage seedling in my backyard, and that seedling grew into a 40-pound cabbage. And I soon realized that this cabbage was far too big for my family and I to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And my dad had always told me not to waste. He stressed how lucky we were every night to sit down to a healthy meal, because there were some families who weren't as fortunate as us and went to bed hungry or relied on soup kitchens for what might be their only meal of the day. And after hearing that, I decided that I wanted to donate my cabbage to a soup kitchen to help feed those families in need. Mm. And when I got to the soup kitchen, I really saw families just like mine who had fallen down on hard times, and it made me want to do more to help these people. My cabbage helped to feed 275 people that day at the soup kitchen, and I thought if one cabbage can feed 275 people, imagine how many people an entire garden could feed. Hmm. And that is what inspired me to begin Katie's Crops.
It's pretty cool. Now, Mary Jane, you're with General Mills, this foundation, and I guess General Mills was out to recognize these types of efforts.
That's exactly right. At General Mills, we've experienced incredible power of together for greater good, and we are inspired by the innovation and creativity of today's youth like Katie. Time after time, we've seen that small steps can lead to really big ideas and even bigger impact. And while teens and young adults have incredible potential to drive impact in the world, they sometimes lack resources, and that can limit how far their ideas can go. That's why we're so proud of the General Mills Feeding Better Future Scholars Program, which we launched just in January. Mm-hmm. This program is encouraging bright young minds to share the work that they've initiated in their communities to combat hunger and protect important agricultural resources. And we believe in their dreams and our ability to help them grow.
Wow. So now you've got like a partnership going on there, in a sense, which is wonderful. And wow. So how can people get involved in helping this effort? What can the general public do?
So a couple of different things. Go ahead, Katie.
There's just so many different ways that people can get involved. For one, I know that if people have any extra produce or canned goods in their house, they can donate those to a local soup kitchen or homeless shelter. Starting a garden in your backyard and donating the produce is so much fun and can make such a big impact. If you want to go out and help in a local community garden or help volunteer at a soup kitchen, those are also amazing ways that you can get involved in the fight against hunger in your community.
You know what's cool is that, of course, hats off to General Mills. I mean, they do this kind of thing all the time. But it's empowering for young people to have someone like you, Katie, as a role model. And my God, we're kind of short on role models these days. So thanks for stepping up, and it makes your age group say, yeah, we can make a difference, and we can change the world in a way. So that's inspiring. So thanks for stepping up, Katie.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. And you must be very healthy with all the vegetables.
Well, we do.
Yeah. Okay, so where do we go for more information?
So for more information, you can visit the feedingbetterfutures.com website. You can learn more about this program, more about Katie and her organization, and the other finalists for this year's Scholars Program.
Great. Katie, again, thank you. And Mary Jane, thank you for, corporations that step up like this do make a difference, and we appreciate that as well. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, bye-bye. Very, very nice. A little delay there in the conversation connection. But nonetheless, See, that's what's called a feel-good story, where a company does something that's good for everybody, although, of course, they're a company and they want to look good, too, but the end result is a win-win. And then you get somebody like Katie, who is just like a kid, who's just like doing good stuff for no reason other than just doing good stuff. And that makes your heart a little bit nicer. You know what I mean? Little bit nicer. So thank you to them. And thank you to you for hanging out today with me, man. You're a special person. You really are. I mean, I don't want to get all, you know, I don't want to get soft here, but you're a nice person, I think. I don't know you. I don't know who the hell you are, but I'm sure you're very, very nice. Have yourselves a wonderful day. You can hear us, of course, on all different kind of outlets. We've added the Spotify people to our daily podcast location, so thank you to them as well. And have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. Yeah, I do. I really do. You be good now. Be good to each other. You know what I mean? No violence. No, no violence. Even though that man tells you to be violent, don't be violent. Be nice.